Yukacharya Stokotis, the Shishimad is divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nityananda Triodisi ki, Gopemenandi Hari Hari Bhava. So for the benefit of our first-time guests, I'll just try to quickly give you like a very, very brief introduction to Krishna consciousness. Basic idea is that God's a person. You know, there is God and he's a person. He has an unlimitedly powerful and beautiful spiritual body, and he's unlimitedly knowledgeable and unlimitedly loving. And originally we had a personal relationship with him, living in the spiritual world. Beyond this material world, there is the spiritual world, and the spiritual world is like this material world in that there are people, there are places, there's everything. Everything you see here in this material world is there in the spiritual world. As a matter of fact, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the man who brought Krishna consciousness from India to here in 1965, on many occasions he would refer to this material world as a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. See, so everything we're experiencing here is there in the spiritual world. So at one time we were there. We were in the spiritual world, and we were very happily engaged in this loving relationship with Krishna, who's actually the name of that person who's God. And due to misuse of our free will, we decided we didn't want to be in the spiritual world, and we've come here to this material world to try to become happy here. We're not having a very good time doing it. But the idea is to go back to the spiritual world. And actually, human form of life is an opportunity. Human form of life is the opportunity to revive our awareness of what our eternal spiritual relationship is with Krishna. And at the end of this lifetime, well, before that, if you're really fortunate, go back to the spiritual world to be with Krishna. And we should want to go back to the spiritual world. But even if we don't want to go back to the spiritual world, Krishna wants us to come back to the spiritual world. Krishna is so wonderful that despite the fact that we left the spiritual world because of our own mistake, you know, we actually... see, our position in the spiritual world is eternal loving servants. You know, but we gave up. You know, we allowed our service attitude to deteriorate. We allowed our loving service to Krishna to, you know, take second place to something else, and therefore that's why we had to leave the spiritual world. But Krishna is so merciful, he's so compassionate, he's so loving, that despite the fact that our leaving the material world, leaving the spiritual world was actually our fault, you see, he wants us to come back. You know, he wants us to come back. And sometimes he's so concerned about our coming back, and he's so eager to have us come back that he actually descends from the spiritual world here into the material world as part of an attempt to attract us, you know, back to devotional, pure devotional service so that we can once again join him again in the spiritual world. So today is the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is an expansion of Krishna. Unlike here in the material world, everybody has one body. But Krishna is so unlimitedly powerful that Krishna can expand into many forms. And each one of those forms is, in one sense, identical with him, but is able to manifest different particular qualities, attributes, characteristics that are needed for in a particular situation that he wants to emphasize at that time. So just like Prabhupada, one of our scriptures gives the example of a candle. With a candle, you can light so many other candles, and each one of those is doing the same thing. It's lighting up. Okay, but there is that one original candle. So Krishna is the original candle. Krishna's first expansion, the second candle is Balaram, who's his brother and his first expansion. And Lord Nityananda is referred to in different places as Balaram. You know, he's the expansion of Balaram. Or he actually is Balaram, but in a not disguised form, but, you know, slightly different form. And that's confirmed by one of our predecessor acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur, in that song, Hari Hari Vipale, which when Prabhupada was asked by Yamuna Devi, what's your favorite song? Prabhupada said that was his favorite song. I think it's the second stanza. It goes, Vajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoy Lo Se Balaram Hoy Lo Nitai. So, you know, that explains that Vajendra Nandana Ye, the son of, you know, Vajendra, you know, Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya and Balaram came as Nitai. And if you want to get really technical, actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita someplace, it's I think it's in this first volume here, it mentions that Lord Nityananda is actually an expansion of Mahasankarshan. Because as we heard this morning from Giriraj Maharaj, actually all the avatars, all the incarnations of Krishna that appear in here in the material world are expansions of Mahasankarshan, who is the first Sankarshan of one of the quadruple expansions. But that's kind of getting kind of technical. We don't have to really get into that. But suffice it to say that Lord Nityananda is Balaram, Krishna's brother. And the reason why devotees are particularly attracted and interested in Lord Nityananda is because he is famous, I guess you could say, for, you know, being renowned for being the most merciful. The most merciful incarnation of Krishna. The most merciful incarnation of Krishna. And there was one occasion in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1975. Prabhupada went there. He was actually on a tour. He went from here to Mexico City, then to Caracas, then to Miami, and then to Atlanta. And I think that was his first visit to Atlanta. And when he got to Atlanta, the Gaunatai deities were already there. Prabhupada didn't install them, but they were already there. And the devotees there had already started worshiping Gaunatai. And they were doing nicely. You know, they were doing very nicely. And so Prabhupada entered the temple room. And this is like, you know, for greeting the deity. Oh, I remember. I think it was greeting the deities. Anyway, they opened the deity doors. And there was Gaunatai. So Prabhupada said, okay, so today I'm going to teach you this song. Oh, no, that was another occasion. Then Prabhupada said, and this was his arrival address. So Prabhupada went, Parama Karuna Pahundvijana Nitai Gaura Chandra. He said, these two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are very kind. They came to deliver. And then Prabhupada went on to say, he said, Krishna, he is also very kind. He also came to deliver. But he said that Krishna, he first of all demanded surrender. He said, but Lord Chaitanya, he does not demand surrender. He's so kind. And then Prabhupada actually started becoming overwhelmed by emotion. And it was a pause. And then he was having difficulty speaking. And then he went ahead anyway and said, so just take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be happy. Choking up. You know, like kind of crying in ecstasy. And that was all he could say. You see? So the purport was that what everybody who heard it, who was there at the time, heard that, understood, was that, wow, Prabhupada's like overwhelmed with emotion just on, you know, meditating on how merciful Lord Chaitanya is, that he's even more merciful than Krishna, because he doesn't even, gives people Krishna consciousness, and he doesn't even, first of all, demand surrender. So my point is that Lord Nityananda is even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, who is more merciful than Krishna. Okay? Actually, all of us, is anybody here who's interested, who would like to receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Okay, very good. I could tell you one very simple way to start your process of getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and that's to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now that might sound like, oh yeah, we all know that, you read Prabhupada's books. But there's a little special angle I'm coming in from here with that. That the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Right? And he had a very special relationship with Lord Nityananda. He had a very special interaction with Lord Nityananda. Does anybody know what that was? Anybody remember that at all? Good. Because now I could tell it, and I don't feel bad that everybody's sitting in there. Okay, so what happened was this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was a devotee. You know, he was part of like a kind of a Vaishnava family. And he mentions where he was living. I can't remember the name of the town. But it was Bengal area. Anyway, what happened was a devotee of Lord Nityananda came to their village. His name was Miniketan Ramdas. And he was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. And so he was engaging all the people there in kirtan. And they were going on for hours and hours and hours. And he was such a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. It's described that, you know, he would shout out the name of Lord Nityananda, and all the people would just like stare at him and wonder. And, you know, people who saw him, would start to cry in ecstasy. You know, they became like Krishna conscious just by being in his presence, just by hearing him chant, just by seeing him like that. So he was, you know, that level of devotee of Lord Nityananda. So anyway, what happened was he was doing the kirtan, and there was this one priest, Brahmin. He was worshipping the deity. I think his name was Gunanava Mishra, I think. And anyway, he just kept worshipping the deity, and he didn't, you know, show any special respect or attention to Miniketan Ramdas. So this came to the attention, of course, Miniketan Ramdas and the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And so they got in some discussion, you know, and it just so happened that Miniketan Ramdas was present there. And basically, you know, they were devotees. And this brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was revealing that he had a lot of faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't have that same faith in Lord Nityananda. And he was saying this in front of this great devotee of Lord Nityananda. And, this discussion was kind of precipitated or inspired by what happened, you know, when the priest didn't show special respect like that. So anyway, so they were talking, and he was expressing, you know, his thoughts. And the brother, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, became very disturbed, you know, to hear his brother speak like that. And he chastised him, he criticized him. Actually, just even before that happened, Miniketan Ramdas, when he heard the brother speak like that, he became very upset. And he didn't say anything, but he just broke his flute, threw it down, and left, I believe. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami started chastising his brother. You know, you're a hypocrite. You know, in so many different ways, he, you know, criticized him for having a faith in Lord Chaitanya and not in Lord Nityananda. He said, these two brothers are like one body. It's a great offense to have faith in one and not have faith in the other. It's just like, quick example. It's just like you have faith in Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is saying that Lord Nityananda's, you know, the other part of my body, then how can you not have faith in Lord Nityananda? If you say, I don't have faith in Lord Nityananda, it's tantamount to saying that I don't have faith in Lord Chaitanya. You see, so it was kind of illogical. It was just his misfortune that he was thinking and feeling like that. So anyway, so he was expressing that, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as I said, was chastising him. And it was a big argument, you know, and the devotee of Lord Nityananda left. And that was, it ended like that. The evening ended like that. So that night, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to sleep, and he had a dream. He had a dream with Lord, and Lord Nityananda came to him in this dream. And in the dream, Lord Nityananda was, extremely beautiful. It describes, you know, his appearance. He had a big, you know, well-built, beautiful, black, glossy body with lotus-like eyes, and, you know, he was wearing, he was just beautifully clothed and decorated and everything, you know, beautiful. And he was surrounded by devotees who were dressed like cowherd boys. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami felt very blissed out just even seeing him in the dream. Anyway, in that dream, Lord Nityananda gave him an instruction. And it, basically that instruction was, he said, you know, you should go to Vrindavan. Immediately, go to Vrindavan. Don't worry, don't have no fear. Just go to Vrindavan, and by going there, you will attain all things. And that was the end of the dream. You know, he got that far, and then he woke up. And when then he woke up, he, you know, came up, what was that all about? And then he remembered the dream immediately, and he just decided, okay, that's it, I'm out of here. And he immediately left. He left. And it was, you know, it was just, obviously it was perfect timing, because if he would have stayed around there, there would have been more arguments with his brother. He would have heard more blasphemy of Lord Nityananda and this and that. So that was really Lord Nityananda's mercy upon him. So he went to Vrindavan, and he got there, and he describes, he got there very easily with very little difficulty. And when he got there, eventually he got good association. He got the association of Rupa Goswami. He got the association of Sanatan Goswami. He was the disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was a confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya. Well, they all were. But Raghunath Das Goswami had lived with Lord Chaitanya for 16 years. And he took extensive notes. You know, he made extensive notes about the life of Lord Chaitanya, as so did Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar were more kind of like very like codes. You know, he recorded the life of Lord Chaitanya in sort of sutras, very brief, concise statements, whereas Raghunath Das Goswami kind of like fluffed it out a bit. You know, it's more, how would you say, described a bit more and like that. So anyway, so he got the association of Raghunath Das Goswami. Oh, he became his disciple, actually. And he went on. And at a very advanced age, the devotees approached him and they requested him to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because up until that point, there were biographies about Lord Chaitanya, but they were mostly dealing with the earlier parts of his life. You know, when he hadn't taken sannyas, or maybe the very early stage, but mostly even before he had taken sannyas. So the devotees wanted to hear about the latter part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and they approached him and asked him to do it. He was already in his 90s. I think he describes right towards the end that he was like 92 or 93 years old. And so he wasn't even sure he could do it, you know. But he went before the Didi of Madan Mohan, and he, you know, begged for blessings. And then, you know, the garland fell, and they took that as an indication of blessings. And then he went ahead and did it. Of course, he did a wonderful, you know, job. So basically, this we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's part of Lord Nityananda's mercy. Because if Lord Nityananda hadn't appeared to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in that dream and instructed him to go to Vrindavan, then all these other things wouldn't have happened. And we wouldn't have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So just if you're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can understand that he was instrumental to, you know, it was Lord Nityananda's desire that devotees have these more information about Lord Chaitanya. And he used Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as an instrument to make that happen. So this is the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, so that's a good start. If you want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because he went to all that, not trouble, but, you know, he made all those arrangements to, you know, to make sure that we have it. And another important point is about getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Giriraj Maharaj, how many devotees were here for this morning's class, just out of curiosity? Okay, about half. So Giriraj Maharaj mentioned another interesting incident that happened sometime. He wasn't sure when, and I'm not sure when. But in one class Prabhupada gave, he said that in order to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna, we have to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, in order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Lord... In order to get the mercy of Lord Radha and Krishna, you have to approach Lord Chaitanya. And before you can approach Lord Chaitanya, you have to approach Lord Nityananda. And in order to approach Lord Nityananda, you have to approach Jagai and Madai. So... But now, okay, you know, and whenever anybody hears that, devotees immediately feel they like it and they feel comfortable. What does it mean? Let's think about that. What does that really mean? You know, that was Prabhupada's, you know, instruction there of how to get the mercy. But what does it mean to approach Jagai and Madai? You want to go ahead? Yeah, you know, you kind of like it. I think you're warm. Anybody else? Yeah. If anybody want to elaborate and explain it a little bit more Any other takers? Okay, I'll have a shot at it. I think what it means is this. And, okay, you have to approach Jagai and Madai. Well, Lord Nityananda, he approached Jagai and Madai. So what is it that he was trying to do? You see, he was trying to help them. Yeah. He was trying to help them. He was trying to help them become Krishna conscious. He saw them. He felt very sorry for them. You know, he could see that, wow, these two guys are the most fallen. And he wanted to, and he understood that also if he could, you know, if he could help them become Krishna conscious, then the mercy of Lord Chaitanya would really be established. Everybody would understand that, wow, this is really a special, you know, personality. That by his mercy, even these two horrible, 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 sinful people have, you know, become Krishna conscious. As far as Lord Nityananda went, his thing was he was really trying to help. His desire was, his inner thing was to help these, poor, totally degraded souls become Krishna conscious. So that's what it means to approach Jagai and Madai. That if we want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and then Lord Chaitanya and then Radha Krishna, we have to be in that same mood. You know, we have to try to adopt that mood and imbibe that mood of like wanting to help people in Krishna consciousness. You see, that's what it means to approach Jagai and Madai. And it doesn't mean there's so many different ways you can do that. You know, Prabhupada gave us book distribution. Sure, that's definitely a way to try to, you know, it's approaching Jagai and Madai. The idea is, and usually it's explained that the people we're approaching are all like Jagai and Madai, which is true too, you know, and that they have all, you know, sinful activities. But another aspect of it is we're supposed to try to become like Lord Chananda, and that we want to help these people become Krishna conscious. So you can help people become Krishna conscious by giving them a book. You can help people become Krishna conscious by reading to them about Krishna. You can help people become Krishna conscious by giving them prasadam. You can help people become Krishna conscious, just by preaching to them. In other words, it's all things are good. The important thing is that we understand this point, this principle of it's really important to try to cultivate this mentality, this, practice of, intention or desire to help people become Krishna conscious. You know, I mean, it could be your wife, your husband, your parents, your friends. You know, I mean, right off the top of my head, I could think of about like a dozen different applications of things that, you know, any devotee could do to try to help others become Krishna. It can mean reaching out to devotees who have, you know, kind of gone astray and trying to encourage them to come back to Krishna consciousness. It could mean helping devotees who have, you know, fallen in ill health and are having a, you know, struggling a little bit, spending time with them and reading to them and trying to help them in, you know, practical things which they need help with. So many different things, right? I don't think anybody needs my examples to think of all the different ways. And this is such a really important point. And to be honest with you, this is the difference. This particular point is the point that's, it's what makes the difference between a Kanishta Adhikari, a Majjhima Adhikari, and an Uttama Adhikari. Now, for those of you not familiar with those terms, Prabhupada explains is different classes of devotees. There's third class, second class, and first class devotee. The third class devotee is called the Kanishta Adhikari. Kanishta means beginner, neophyte. Well, yeah, Kanishta. And basically, the Kanishta Adhikari, he's mostly concerned worshiping the deity, but it's not his activity that's the thing. It's his consciousness. It's his mentality. He's mostly concerned about himself. The Kanishta Adhikari is mostly concerned with, you know, engage in devotional service and this way become free from reactions to sinful activities, get out of stress, you know, and become liberated. He's mostly concerned about his own welfare like that, and that's good. You know, that's taking shelter of Krishna for that is good. It's much better than trying to do, it's the correct, it's a good first step in the right direction. See? but it's not the perfectional stage. It's the next stage is Majjhimadhikari. Majjhim means the middle, second class devotee. And the Majjhimadhikari, he comes to the understanding that, okay, well, you know, it's good. I mean, I do want to get liberated, but, you know, maybe I could also help some. I think it's kind of important from, you know, because he's hearing the philosophy, and he can understand that, well, it'd be nice if I could also, in the process of trying to become liberated myself, maybe I could help some others to do that. Maybe I could help some other people advance in Krishna consciousness. So he becomes concerned about that. And, you know, you might say upon hearing that, well, you might think, well, you know, I don't feel any compassion. I don't feel it. Well, you know, be honest with you, in the beginning stages of devotional service, feeling is not so important. I'll explain that. In the beginning stage of the devotional service, what's really important is that you hear from the bona fide authorities and you try to, you see through those personalities. It's called Shastra Chakshus, you see? So in the beginning of devotional service, because, you know, all our feeling is still materially contaminated. Our feelings are mundane and we can't trust them. So what you have to do in the initial stages of the devotional service, you have to hear from the pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas, try to understand what they're saying, and then just put it into practice, apply it, whether you feel like it or not. Just like how many devotees here, every morning, feel like chanting 16 rounds, feel like chanting Hare Krishna? Okay, good, you're fortunate. Some of us don't. I mean, you know, most of us do. But sometimes you don't feel like it. But you do it because you know with your intelligence, this is what I'm supposed to do. It's the right thing to do. So whether you feel like it or not, you do it. So it's like that with trying to help people in Krishna consciousness. You have to make a regulative principle out of it. Just like with chanting. You know, chanting 16 rounds is not the perfectional stage. It's not the ideal standard. Actually, be honest with you, it's just the minimum requirement. See, but because we don't have a taste for chanting, we've been instructed by our spiritual master and predecessor Charis to fix up some numerical strength and do that without fail. And then by doing that, you become purified and will, you know, come to the stage of Kirtaniya Sadahari, where we actually do have a taste for chanting. And what to speak of 16 rounds, we'll chant, you know, unlimitedly, chant all day long when you actually get a taste for it. So it's the same thing with this, the same thing with this point of, you know, trying to follow in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda. At first we might not want to, in other words, in the sense that we might not feel compassionate, but just do it. You know, go out and distribute some books. You know, think of somebody who you know could need some help in their Krishna consciousness, and just, you know, make an effort to extend yourself and do that on a regular basis. Make it a practice, a regular practice. And, you know, by doing that, you're actually, that's what's meant to be, approach Jagai and Madai. That's doing what Lord Nityananda did with Jagai and Madai. And, you know, Krishna really appreciates that. And he will reciprocate with you. And you'll actually feel very good doing that and very satisfied. And, you'll feel like you want to do it more and more. It might start off with as something you're disciplining yourself to do, but as you do it more and more, it becomes a more of a pleasure than a duty, you know. So, let's see if I'm. Oh yeah, and then I'm actually just about done. But then there's the Uttama Adhikari, which I should have, it's the next logical stage, but I forgot. Prabhupada defines Uttama Adhikari in the Nectar of Instruction as, and this is a very interesting definition, the Uttama Adhikari is simply a person who, he says, who chants the prescribed number of rounds every day, and he's following the regulative principles, and here is it. He says, and he's always thinking of how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, which is just another way of saying he's always thinking of how to help people. Because, you know, if you're always thinking, well, why is he, you know, why is that person always thinking about spreading the Krishna conscious movement? You know, it's like built into that statement that he's always thinking of trying to help the poor, you know, the fallen conditioned souls. You see? So that's Prabhupada's definition of a Uttama Adhikari. You know, just somebody who's just following the basic rules and regulations and always thinking of how to spread the Krishna conscious movement. And it's always thinking about how to help the fallen conditioned souls, you know, get some benefit out of this human form of life they've been given and become Krishna conscious. So that's how to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And I think that's at least as far as my realization extends. So can anybody see the time there? I was supposed to, class supposed to end at 6:30. What time is it now?
6.
Okay, can we have maybe a little discussion? Anybody want to add anything to what I said or has any questions? Or otherwise, I'll read you that section from the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was meeting Lord Nityananda. Okay. Okay, so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami leading, he says, please listen to another glory of his mercy. He's talking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He made a fallen living entity climb to the highest limit. To disclose it is not proper, for it should be kept as confidential as the Vedas. Yet I shall speak of it to make his mercy known to all. O Lord Nityananda, I write of your mercy out of great exultation. Please forgive me for my offenses. Lord Nityananda Prabhu had a servant named Sri Miniketana Ramdas, who is a reservoir of love. At my house, there was a sankirtan day and night, and therefore he visited there, having been invited. Absorbed in emotional love, he sat in my courtyard, and all the Vaishnavas bowed down at his feet. In a joyful mood of love of God, he sometimes climbed upon the shoulder of someone, offering obeisances, and sometimes he so the person's offering obeisances and he's climbing upon his shoulders. And sometimes he struck others with his flute or mildly slapped them. When someone saw the eyes of Miniketana Ramdas, tears would automatically flow from his own eyes, for a constant shower of tears flowed from the eyes of Miniketana Ramdas. Sometimes there were eruptions of ecstasy like kadamba flowers on some parts of his body, and sometimes one limb would be stunned while another would be trembling. Whenever he shouted aloud the name Nityananda, the people around him were filled with great wonder and astonishment. One respectable Brahmin named Sri Gunanava Mishra was serving the deity. When Miniketana was seated in the yard, the Brahmin did not offer him respect. Seeing this, Sri Ramdas became angry and spoke, quote, here I find the second Roma Harshana Sutta, who did not stand to show honor when he saw Lord Balaram. After saying this, he danced and sang to his heart's content. But the Brahmin did not become angry, for he was then worshipping Lord Krishna. At the end of the festival, Miniketana Ramdas went away, offering his blessings to everyone. At that time, he had some controversy with my brother. My brother had firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a dim glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. Knowing this, Sri Ramdas felt unhappy in his mind. I then rebuked my brother. These two brothers, I told him, are like one body. They are identical manifestations. If you do not believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. If you have faith in one but disrespect the other, your logic is like the logic of accepting half of a hen. It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing in one and slighting the other. So it says, thus, Sri Ramdas broke his flute in anger and went away. And at that time, my brother fell down. So in other words, it was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami who was speaking, but Ramdas, Miniketana Ramdas was sitting there hearing what he had to say, and apparently he got him riled up, you know, because he heard what he was saying, and he got so disturbed by what he was saying. And he spoke well, obviously, but he just decided, he's right, you know, why am I even staying here in the company of this person? He broke his flute, and he just left. And it says, and then his brother fell down. That was a fall down for his brother. Then it goes, he says, I have thus described the power of the servants of Lord Nityananda. Now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy. That night, Lord Nityananda, it doesn't give any details. It doesn't explain, you know, what it, you know, it fell down in what sense. But anyway, he fell down. He offended a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. So it says, that night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. In the village of Jamatpura, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and then he placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy, blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted, Krishna, Krishna, in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, just like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees, and also chanted, Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. O my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke. When I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. By his mercy I have attained the shelter of the great personality Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and by his mercy I have found the refuge of Sri Swarup Damodar. By the mercy of Sanatan Goswami I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha and Govinda. So, and it goes on a little bit, but I'll read a little bit more. We have a couple minutes still. So this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's continuing. He says, I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai, even lower than the worms in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between good and bad. So this is like, here, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaking, and we have to take, you know, his... what he's saying is factual, so it means there's great hope. Let me read that again. He says, he's talking about Lord Nityananda here, and he says, because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between good and bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. So, is, you know, our predecessor Acharya is telling us what to do. Fall down and before Lord Nityananda and just pray for his mercy. He doesn't distinguish between good and bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. And like that. It says, although I am sinful and I am most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. And then it goes on. Something else. So, Lord Nityananda Ki Jai. So, what time is it? 6:15? Oh, 6:30. Okay. 6:25. Okay. Any question or comment? Anybody have anything they'd like to add or anything they'd like to ask? Okay. Well, I guess we could stop 5 minutes early. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Nityananda Ki Jai.